Cambridge 105 Radio. Today sees the publication of the Sunday Times Best Places to Live. This annual guide features the UK's most desirable locations, and we're lucky enough to be joined by Tim Palmer. Tim is one of the main judges and writers behind the annual Sunday Times Best Place to Live guide. He writes about all kinds of property issues with a particular focus on finding and celebrating the UK's best communities and locations. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Tim.
A pleasure.
Now, out of all the fantastic places to live in the UK, how do you reach a shortlist? What are the factors that you would consider?
Well, I think what we're looking for, and what I think we've got quite good at looking for over the last 12 years since we've been doing this, is the places that people are proudest and happiest to call home. And there can be all kinds of reasons for that. So it could be things like good schools and fast trains, or it could be beautiful views and great architecture. But the thing I think we find that makes the most difference is the places that have really good communities, where your neighbours are nice, where people love where they live and are prepared to work hard to make it like that.
That's a great answer. And I think we all have places that we know that are like that. Do you have any understanding of the impact on the places that have made the shortlist in the past?
Well, I think what we're aiming to do, and it's not, this isn't meant to be a list of places that you should immediately sell your house and move to now. The reason I like doing it is because it's all about celebrating the places that are great and the people who make them great, because it is, you know, it is people who make the place. And I think it's great to celebrate that. So when it's working properly, then what we do is we give a place a boost, put a spring in the step. Maybe even though it's not about visiting at all, they get a little bit of a boost to business, a little bit more footfall on the high street. Occasionally we do get blamed for putting up house prices, attracting unwanted attention. I think that's harsh because these are all very obviously good places anyway. And, you know, anyone who knows what they're talking about will know that they're desirable, whether we mention them or not.
Yeah, I think you're right. But in these difficult times of council cutbacks and so on, have you noticed an impact around how cities and towns have been affected in the past year?
Oh, very much so. I mean, there's a lot of towns, certainly a lot of big towns, the towns that people used to go to buy towels from the department store are plainly struggling a bit. You know, council cutbacks don't help. There's a lot of great cities that, you know, that we might have included more of if it wasn't so obvious just how tough things are: potholes, litter, unconnected, that sort of thing. But what it does also show is that it illustrates how well the places that are doing well and how they're doing that. And a lot of that these days is down to small business rather than big business. So many of the places on our list are places with a sympathetic environment for small businesses, where people can do interesting things, where they get supported by the local community, and where those things can thrive. I mean, it might just be retail. So, you know, independent shops are fantastic. So, you know, good parking helps them. But we've also found a couple of places which have like really brilliant industrial estates.
Yeah.
You know, there's one small town in Wales, which is on the list, which has an industrial estate with live work units in it. So, you know, start a business, get somewhere to live.
That is exciting, actually. It's an exciting idea. And have you ever fancied yourself moving to some of the places that you've looked at doing this exercise?
Oh, almost, you know, almost every time, to be honest. Personally, you know, I've managed to work out what I like, and I would, if I had all my choices, I would live by the sea. So that narrows it down, because there's a lot of great seaside around the country, but not that many of the towns next to the sea are necessarily the best places. So that helps narrow it down. But the other thing you realize is, much as this list like this is interesting and important, you can't move to a place and expect it to solve your problems for you. You're still there. You move to the place. And I think what I almost fantasize about is being dropped at random in any one of these great places and seeing how much fun you can have trying to build a life there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I'm like that when I visit places as well, actually. And do you think, though, that priorities have changed in the past few years when it comes to selecting a location to live, maybe during COVID, post-COVID, that kind of thing?
I mean, I think when we started, this was very much all about posh supermarkets, fast trains, good schools, all those really, you know, supposedly aspirational factors. Since then, there's the quirky things. We've gone through the hipster years when it was all about cocktails and jam jars, and now it's, everyone's got a dog now, so you need somewhere good to walk that. But I think these days there's much more focus on, I hate the word, but the kind of well-being side of things. So having a balanced life, having access to good countryside, having access to, cold water swimming, is very important for some people. So having clean water to swim in, the effects on your mental health that can come from living somewhere beautiful are much more important now than maybe they were when we started.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Can you give us any idea of who this year's winners are? Do we have any local winners?
We do, yes, yeah, very much so. I mean, Cambridge is obviously has been one of the property hotspots in the country over the last 10 years, largely, I think, because of business and how many good jobs there are there now. But we think that rather than living in Cambridge proper, I think you'd have a better time. You'd still have access to all the good stuff in Cambridge, but you get the best of village life if you live in one of the Shelfords. I'm sure everyone knows them, but they're two great villages to the south of the city. So you get, the full rural feel. You've got one of the best hospitals in the country on the doorstep, which is not something you want to think about, but it's reassuring to know that it's there. Transport's pretty good, and the community there is fantastic. They have a lot of fun. There's a lot of sports clubs and societies. The Shelford Feast is a fantastic thing, which I think is A, great fun, and B, has raised hundreds of thousands for charity over the years. But they also seem to be good at getting serious stuff done. There's some new affordable houses built, I think, in the last couple of years, which have been nominated for an award. And there's nothing more important or more difficult, it seems, at the moment than building affordable houses. So, that's definitely a very big plus point.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure people in the Shelfords will be absolutely thrilled when they read this weekend. And it's gone online today, I think, actually.
Yes, the times.uk/best places to live. And you'll find details of all the winners, all the 72 locations, and a whole lot more besides, including a very handy quiz, which might give you some ideas for places that you might want to have a look at.
Excellent stuff. Tim Palmer, thank you very much for joining us on Cambridge 105 this morning.
A pleasure. Thank you.